And welcome back for another episode of the Black Watch Report. I'm your host, Thorn Rain, and with me, as always, Mr. Kyle Wynn. How you doing this evening?
Pretty good. Checking Twitter for the ever-looming World Cup announcements and stuff, because there's still some questions that still need to be answered.
It's been crazy on the old Twitter there. Like, every time I turn around, something's being announced.
It's my favorite season. I love announcement season. Like, it's... like when we were just at the end of the Overwatch League break, just towards like October, November, we're starting to get like all the teams are coming together. We're starting to figure out who's getting signed where. Just refresh. Oh my God, it's this big announcement. Like, we're getting that now with the World Cup, and we're still waiting on that USA top seven, waiting for people to be angry about, you know, which main tank gets it, which flex support gets it. So that'll be interesting to see.
I've already expressed my distrust for the Team USA roster, so I'm going to leave that one alone. But as always, we kind of start off with what we've done in the past week. So how has your week been since we last talked?
Pretty good. I haven't done too much. It's been a bit of a slower week. Let's see. Well, yeah, last week was very, 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 very busy. This most recent week has been nice and slow, so... played a little bit Overwatch, some CS, some PUBG, played a lot of Scum and stuff like that. Been working on my game, been watching some Overwatch League here and there. I'm absolutely loving the 2-2-2 lock games now.
Yep.
I love the complete unpredictability between teams now. You've got like Houston losing to Paris and then beating Gladiators, and Gladiators beating New York but losing to Houston. It's just like, what does that mean now? Like, who knows what? Who is best? Who is good? No one knows. It's just all up in the air. No one knows what the right meta is just yet. Teams are still figuring it out. There's lots of theory crafting going on. There's lots of different teams are trying different things. And so you've got teams having their own kind of identities with these new comps. And it's just like, this is the golden era for me in terms of like team comps. As soon as there's a huge change, there's this big flux of chaos and trying to sort through the chaos, and yep. That's like my favorite thing to watch.
Yeah, what was it? I went 0-4 on day one of my pick'ems, got none of them right, and I picked who would have been technically the favorites in all but one. But I have literally played like almost no video games. I got on to Dauntless, I think, for an hour this past week. And that was just so I didn't like lock myself out of bonus rewards. Been working a lot, sleeping a lot, and then going back and working a lot more. So hopefully it slows down a little bit and I can actually get some time to play some Overwatch, because I do want to get in and play some Overwatch. That way I'm ready for when 2-2-2 hits live, because I do want to do all three placements, see where I place, and actually start playing again, because it's been a long time since I played Overwatch.
Definitely.
But that's going to move us along. No new iTunes reviews, no Twitch or YouTube follows or subscribes. So that's going to take us down into the news. As always, our news is brought to you by our Patreon. You can head over to patreon.com/blackwatchreport and become a patron. Starting at the $2 tier, you can actually sponsor our news. And this week's sponsor is Mr. Thugly. Thank you so much. And let's get down into the news here.
All right, so first off, we'll kind of just preview this, and then we'll jump into it more in the main discussion, but the Overwatch League roster construction rules for the 2020 season have been announced. These are the rules that outline the free agent windows, the signing windows, the roster lock windows, and age restrictions, and all that kind of stuff, so we will get into that more in great detail in the main discussion. But then jumping in directly to roster moves, we've got Coach Curryshot officially joins the Guangzhou Charge as strategic coach, formerly of, I think, Revival. And then before that, was he on Guangzhou Academy for a minute, or maybe that was just Cuddles who was? I don't remember.
I think it was just Cuddles. But
he got the direct call-up, which was not the direct call-up. He got a good call-up from a not very well-paid, if at all, position to now Guangzhou, which is a big come-up, especially because they're doing really well. It's always good to like join a team as they start picking it up, and it's not like trying to pick a team off the ground. But yeah, good to see you always.
And we've been calling for it for a while for Curry Shot.
Yeah.
This next one here, I got flamed and hated on in basically every community that I talked about this in. Because I hate it. I think it's stupid. I think it's unfair. And if you're going to have what we're going to talk about later on, this should have never happened. Leave signed to the Chengdu Hunters. But not as a player. As a entertainment talent or a talent signed to a talent contract. Basically, they signed him to a streaming contract because he's underage until like the middle of October. But once the free agency window opens up, he falls into the window where they can sign him, basically preventing any team from being able to speak to him because he's under a talent contract with the Chengdu Hunters. It's an easy way for people to, or teams to kind of skirt around the free agency. We saw, New York do it with Lauer, I believe. They signed him on as, like a staff member or something.
Yeah. Just like, to bring him over. And then eventually when they're like, oh, these academy teams are here now, they're like, oh, that's convenient. Let's throw Flower there instead of just having him team. Sleep in the team house and like go to practice, but he can't actually like own a jersey.
Just not a huge fan of this. If you're going to have a free agency window, this should be a finable offense. The team should not be able to talk to people outside of the window. But we'll talk about more of that later on.
Yeah, there's some weird stuff. There's some definitely some shenanigans afoot, definitely some loopholes. I feel like if it's a loophole that they're cutting through, then that should be a league thing that they deal with and then close that loophole.
Which actually, if we see the league close a loophole a little bit later on also, which is kind of cool. Hopefully they fix this loophole because this is 2 years in a row that we've seen somebody
do this. Yeah, it's like when teams would sign a player to their academy team and then directly call them up even though it wasn't in their signing window because you're allowed to sign up. It's like, that's just such a, like, really? You didn't think that could happen? Okay, whatever.
Yep.
Anyways, slightly more positive note, Kuki, the best Lucio player that has ever graced the LA Valiant. Why was that a thing? Joins Runaway as a coach, so officially moving on from playing. Had a moderately decently successful season with Seoul Dynasty last year, a not very successful season with Valiant this year. Moves up to one of the better contenders teams in Korea, so this should be a good first step. I mean, like, as a coach, like, your first team being Runaway is pretty good. That's a
solid job opportunity right there.
Yeah.
So next up, we see Mac, the main support for the Sky Foxes, actually parting ways with the Sky Foxes. Sky Foxes having one more match left in the season, that taking place tomorrow. Currently sitting at 3-3 with a +2 map differential. I don't think we know who's going to be taking over for him.
We support, do.
Do we?
Mr. Lone Out Car.
Yes, I completely forgot he was on loan to the Sky Foxes. So we'll actually get to see Car play tomorrow. That should be pretty interesting. Playing with good old Who Are You, also on loan to the Sky Foxes from Fusion University. That whole weird setup.
Everyone. Fusion, like, it's like Sky Foxes previously where they had everyone on their team. Now Fusion are just, like, they have everyone on their team, but they're just, like, loaning them out to everyone now, so.
You get a loan, and you get a loan.
Yeah, it's going to get interesting, with especially considering this next signing, too, where they also have now added a main support in Fuse. So now, technically speaking, Fusion University have under contract three different main support players. And I want to find this Elk tweet and read this out here, because I feel like this was pretty important to bring up.
Yes.
I got it here. Okay, so for those wondering, I'm back in New York and will be taking a couple of weeks off and going to make a streaming schedule. I'm confident Fusion University can turn the season around and make the gauntlet. I'll be cheering for them every step of the way. It's a little sad with my time, with how my time is with them has ended, but after I was benched for so long, there's a lot I need to work on individually. A great quote that's from someone I respect a lot is, you need to work on being a cog in the machine and not always trying to be the mechanic. So, we've heard previously that Elk was not shot calling anymore, and like 70% of the comms were in Korean for this Fusion University team, so it kind of it shows that like they were clearly not the same team. There's clearly some issues, clearly some things to work on here. Not quite as successful of a season for Fusion as previously. So I think this will probably be better for everyone, because I don't think you're utilizing Elk to his fullest potential being on a exclusively, not exclusively, but almost exclusively Korean team at this point.
Yep.
I think we're going to see some pretty big changes here to Fusion University after the season's over. Yeah, I guess regardless if they make Gauntlet or not, but it's looking not very likely at the moment.
Yeah. The biggest thing in there is how my time with them ended. Like that verbiage kind of worries me, but like you said, we'll probably be seeing the whole roster have a shakeup.
Yeah.
Which was probably going to come from that loophole that we're going to talk about a little bit later on also. Like that could change a whole lot of stuff.
I think that there's definitely going to be some wholesale changes happening at the end of the season. I think we talked about it in the Discord a little bit, but we're kind of speculating there's going to be some major changes. I think that this is going to be the Philly rebuild season after the season's up, because they have a lot of players who have still been on since season one. So their 1+1 is now ended. They have the opportunity to re-sign, but that also means the opportunity to change things up. Like, you've got Sato, you've got Poco, you've got Neptuno, who were pretty good, but now are not looking as illustrious as we previously thought. There's going to be some shakeups that can be made with Elk, with anyone else in that roster. If they're not getting called up, they're probably getting traded elsewhere, and there's a lot of teams that could use this talent. So I think if Elk doesn't find a spot with this main roster, I could definitely see him getting traded and benefiting like a Houston Outlaws or a Dallas Fuel, or kind of a struggling team that might need like a little bit more on the field leadership, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And that also brings up the fact that Alarm and Who Are You both unlock for next season.
Mm-hmm.
Alarm
definitely is gonna see play somewhere. Either like my speculation is that he's going to have a really overblown contract,
mm-hmm.
because Fusion are probably going to want to sign him.
There's going to be a bidding war. But also so will
other teams.
Yeah.
And as we've seen in the past, players aren't signed for fat contracts for no reason. It's almost always because of a bidding war. That's what happened with Sinatra between Cloud9 and NRG. That's what happened with Decay with Gladiators and Valiant, I think, were the two main teams at the end. That's what is going to happen with Fusion, I believe. Fusion's going to have to pay fat money. They're going to have to match some big contracts to be able to keep this player.
Oh yeah.
Who Are You, on the other hand, I don't see. I think his stocks have went down quite a bit in the last year or so, because.
But we're going to get to see him back in a 2-2-2 meta.
True.
So he I think might that be able he will to build definitely himself have
the
up.
Opportunity. Yes, he'll definitely have the kind of work his way back into the limelight here. But considering that his absolute two best heroes are kind of still not really played much in Genji Tracer, it's going to be a bit tough, I think, for him. Mm. Maybe work on that Pharah, but he's always had a decent Pharah, so yep. We'll see.
But that's going to wrap it up for the news, so let's take a real quick word from our sponsor. Break away from your normal energy and go rogue. Head over to therogueenergy.com and use promo code BlackWatchReport at checkout for 10% off of your purchase. And that's going to take us down into the quick play. We're going to run through the scores for the last week, starting with NA West, week 7. So Kyle, take us away.
All right, so we saw UA. I'm like, United Artists? No, it's Uprising Academy. Take the 3-1 victory over Square One. We both had this going 3-1, so we got the perfect score there, as we got the perfect score on Atlanta versus Bermuda, again with the 4-0. We both called it.
Easy.
So far, 2-for-2, perfect. Didn't get this one quite as perfect. It was an interesting, not quite the Cowan patented 2-1, but it was a someone else patented 3-0. Grento took the 3-0 victory over Skyfox as they drew on a map. I had it going 3-1, you had it going 3-2. We just gave Skyfox a little bit more credit. And then lastly, this was a bit of a shocker here.
Big shock.
In the 3-2 loss to Phase 2, the Gladiators fall. really having a rough season so far. Our good friend Mate just not really hitting the stride with the GOATs comp. We'll see if things turn around once they move into 2-2-2. We'll talk about that actually when we move over to our community intel. But we had this going both Gladiators' way. I had it going 3-2, so I knew it'd go to 5, but I didn't quite think that they would choke it out in the map 5. You had it going 3-1.
Yeah, so taking us over to NA East Week 6, we see Revival going up against WaveCheck. WaveCheck take this 3-1. This borderline surprise, but not really, because Revival's been kind of in a downswing, like hard. Both of us gave it to Revival 3-1, WaveCheck taking it. Now the next one here. This is a big thonker right here. XL2 versus Second Wind. Both of us gave this to XL2. 3-1.
Pretty handedly as well.
Yeah, 3-1, XL2. Nope, Skyfoxes, 4-0. Just dumpstered them.
Second Wind.
Yeah, Second Wind. Second Wind dumpstering XL2 here. Did not see that coming. I figured it was going to be a good match, but I wasn't expecting Second Wind to show out like that. Mm-hmm. This one's to be expected. Envy versus Montreal. We both had this going Envy 4-0. Envy take it 4-0. And then we've got Triumph going up against Tea Party. We both gave it to Triumph 3-1. Triumph take it 3-1. Easy. Kind of figured that one out.
Yep, we were dead on for 4 of the 8 matches this week, which is really good to see. It means we have a moderate understanding of how the teams are working.
We vaguely know what we're talking about.
Completely end. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just for it all to now. Okay, now the whole meta's changing. Everything's going to be in flux. No one knows what's happening. So we just got an understanding just as soon as it's changing. So got to be rough to see. But let's talk about EU here. This was the last week of EU. We now have final standings in here. We should probably do standings after this, huh? Samsung Morningstars take the 3-2 victory over Shoes Money Crew EU. We both had this going to Shoes Money Crew in the 3-2 is what you had. I had it going 3-1, so a bit wrong there, unfortunately. And then HSL take the 3-1 victory over British Hurricane, which we predicted. I predicted going 3-2. You got the nail on the head with the 3-1. And then CV versus Giganti, Clockwork Vendetta fall 3-2 to Giganti in the map 5. You had this going 3-2 Clockwork. I had this going 3-1 Clockwork. So our understanding of EU is not quite there, except when it comes to Angry Titans, who take the 3-1 over Young and Beautiful, which we got that perfect. So
the Clockwork,
like, to be fair, no one knows EU. No one can predict EU. Anyone who thinks that, like, oh yeah, no, this team's definitely better, like, No, you don't. You don't know that. No one knows anything about EU.
No clue. I don't even think most of the EU people know exactly what's going on. I mean, week one, Young and Beautiful beat the British Hurricane. Like, who would have guessed that to happen? But moving us over to Korea, we've got week 4, day 2. We see Fusion University going up against Gen G. I gave this to Gen G 3-2. Kyle gave it to Fusion University 3-2. Neither one of us got the map score right, but I got Gen G taking it. Gen G beat Fusion University 2-1. It was a close match. Didn't go like the 5, but there was a draw in there. And Fusion just having a rough time over there in Korea right now. And then we've got Runaway going up against Meta Athena. Both of us give this to Runaway 4-0. Kind of figured, you know, easy, no problem. So let's talk about Korea Week 5, Day 1. This was earlier today. Meta Athena versus Element Mystic. You know, Meta Athena just got stomped by Runaway. Expected. They beat Element Mystic 3-2. No, I don't think anyone saw this happening. No one. Me and you both gave this to Element Mystic 3-1. I figured Meta Athena would get one. Nope. They beat Element Mystic. Element Mystic's kind of in a weird spot this year. They've lost to a couple teams that I didn't expect them to really lose to, especially Meta Athena here.
Yeah.
And then we've got WGS going up against Gen G. I gave this to Gen G 3-1. You gave it to Gen G 4-0. Gen G take this 4-0. Kyle, you got this one perfect here.
Hey. All right. So real quick, before I move on, I do want to real quick run through just the standings now that we have all of the standings officially in and done for NA West. And I think NA East will have
tomorrow
next week.
Yep.
Yeah. So starting off first place, we knew this already. Team Envy 7-0, easy clap. Below them is XL2 with the 5-2 in second place. Tramp is below them with a 4-3, the first of the three 4-3 teams. Tramp in third, Second Wind in fourth, Montreal in fifth. The map differential is what's keeping those teams in that order. Tea Party coming in at the very last spot here with the 2-5 minus 8 differential. Wave Check and Revival, both at 1 and 6, are getting relegated down to Trials.
And then we've got the EU standings. So we've got Team Giganti sitting at the top of the pack, 6-1, followed up by Clockwork Vendetta securing that second place with a 5-2. Also with 5-2, we've got HSL Esports. They just had a slightly less... illustrious map score. They were a +4 while Clockwork Vendetta was a +7. In the fourth seed, we've got British Hurricane with a 3-4, along with the Angry Titans, also at a 3-4. British Hurricane just slightly edging out the Titans here. British Hurricane with a +1 map differential, Angry Titans with a -1. Then Samsung Morningstar wrapping out the playoff set here with a 2-5 record with a -7 map differential. And then we've got Young and Beautiful and Choose Money Crew EU both being relegated, both of them with 2-5 records, just like Samsung Morningstars. Now here's the interesting thing. Choose Money Crew, a -8 on the map differential. Young and Beautiful, a -7, along with Samsung Morningstars. Now, the tiebreaker was the fact that Samsung Morningstars in the regular season beat Young and Beautiful, which gave them that 6th seed.
That might be the first time we've seen that happen in contenders, actually.
I've never seen it until right now.
It is interesting to see. So one of the things I did want to bring up is, do you remember, I think it was last season, where everything was like beautiful in both of the NA divisions, and I think even EU is the same as well, whereas the top team beat every team below them, and then every below team
only lost to the team above them.
Yep. And only beat the teams below them. EU has just taken that, thrown that entirely away. Even NA West has like some inconsistencies with that due to the fact that with Wave Check and Revival, like they didn't beat the right teams, because Revival were able to beat Second Wind and Wave Check. It was just all...
And then XL2 dropped two games instead of just the one.
They lost to someone beyond just Envy. Yeah,
they lost to Triumph.
Exactly.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. Second Wind.
Yeah. And so the era of this like lovely, just like it all matches. We now have a very clear picture of who's best and who's worst. It's just kind of being thrown out the window. So the chaos is upon us in many ways now.
Hopefully it kind of stays that way, because it makes things way more interesting.
It is. I love having this like head-to-head tiebreaker for relegation between Young and Beautiful and Samsung. That's fascascinating.
So did you have anything else before we get into the main discussion?
No. Yeah, let's hop into this. If you notice in the notes, I did scratch out the match. There's not enough time.
We typically cover matches here, but because of my work schedule, I wasn't able to watch any. So Kyle was going to cover Giganti versus Clockwork Vendetta, because it was an interesting match. But then we got just absolutely bombarded with information and all kinds of stuff. So today's main discussion is going to be the Overwatch World Cup teams and the 2020 roster construction rules. So let's start off with the World Cup teams being announced here. You just want to alternate here, or how do you
want
to do this? Yeah, let's
just real quick talk about them. Yeah, we'll just alternate. I'll take over and I'll take the easy one here. So we heard the World Cup team for USA was announced. We got the top 12. We're not going to read them all off because they're all Overwatch League pros, and that's not our domain. We'll let Blevins and Deathblow take that over. So US is not really looking for promoting any great tier 2 talent, unfortunately, so
they just keep using the same people.
Yep.
Not even gonna get started on that one. So EU, we've got Funny Astro coming in from the Atlanta Academy on main support, Smex from the Montreal Rebellion, off tank, and then the rest of the seven man has not been announced yet, so we will know that here shortly.
Yeah, they've been trickling and they've been Washington justicing it in, and I'm not super fond of that, but you know, that's whatever, I guess. We know they're 12 man, and I can kind of guess that we're probably going to see KSP in as well, playing on XL2 as that DPS slot, probably playing with Kib as the other DPS, but I'm not going to write that off just yet. There's also another chance for like Numlocked getting the spot over Fusions, so we'll cover that when we get there. But for Team Canada, we only have one official contenders player on the seven-man roster, and that is Crimzo.
The only one that matters.
There's no better flex support. There's no one even really close, honestly. There was Autumn of Souls, but I don't even know if he was on a tier 3 team. Not a very famous name that I know of, so Crimzo coming in from Team Envy as the flex support with as well. Should be noted, we've got Chain, Mufin, and Zolik coming in as the backups. Chain from Bermuda as the main tank. Mufin from the played one game with Envy on off tank. Mufin was the one that everyone, I guess it's Muffin. He said it's Muffin, but I keep calling it Mufin. He was the one that people were like, oh my god, no, does not deserve this spot. It's only nepotism that's the reason he got in. Muffin is so much better than him. Okay, the dude has played legitimately one tier 2 game in his life, and he's going to go play against the like South Korean super team. Like
the most disgusting team I've ever seen put together. Yeah.
Yes, it's, yeah. Every year, yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute, but like, yeah. If you want to showcase talent, that makes sense. There's a lot of teams that are kind of showcasing talent in other regions. A lot of, you know, Overwatch League players are like, yeah, I don't really want to play this time around. I kind of want to just take a break here.
And then you have one nation like that wants to win.
You've got a couple that are like tryharding. China is tryharding. Oh, South Korea tryharding. USA tryharding. Canada's even tryharding a bit here. UK kind of is as well. They're like, I mean, they just are running into issues of like, okay, we don't have all Overwatch League talent.
True.
Players in all the spots. But like, yeah, we'll talk about this a bit later. So real quick, as I mentioned, China is all Overwatch League pros, as is Team South Korea. And every time, real quick, we'll just talk about South Korea for a second. Every time they have a new roster, I think last year was a little bit of a question mark, though, because they brought in Fate for a little while, and you're like, really? Okay. But like every time they announce, you're like, oh, come on, please, can we just get like, bring in some feeders or something? I want, no, you're going to get like all of the best players and then just wreck everyone. I want to see if I can find the, do they have the, oh, okay, yeah, so I thought that was announced. It's just as Mono is announced on the roster this year.
I'm looking for it right now. I did, I know that announced. I saw it. Yeah, where did it go? Oh, because I'm looking in top, not in latest. That's probably why.
Mm-hmm. I don't see it.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. So on your tank line, you've got Mono, Choi Ho-bin, and Janu. DPS, you got Architect, Carpe, Decay, Haxel, and Nene. That's disgusting. Like you're kidding me, right? Like just filthy. And then on the support, yeah, you got Anemo, Bedosin, IDK, and Kariv. Just,
yeah, so yeah,
you win.
You've got, I think Jonek probably wanted to sit out or something, maybe. That doesn't surprise me. Maybe he wants to like go home and see family and stuff like that after playing so much. But like you've got Bedosin, who's a just insane Zen. You've got Kariv, who's an insane Ana. It's just, there's no, yeah, it's just, you could, it's just ridiculous.
You could play the five DPS and one support, and it would be,
you'd still clap.
It would be so frightening.
Except for the top, like other two teams, yeah. But let's jump into where we really see it turn into a tier two fiesta, and that is Europe.
Yes.
Oh, I love Europe. They're just like, we have all of the tier two talent, and not really that many tier one talent. Unfortunately, we have a couple here and there for the top teams. But Denmark, we've got Fisher, the Montreal Rebellion DPS, Naga, the Shoes Money Crew DPS, Scalar, the Uprising Academy Flex Support, Molfig, the British Hurricane Off Tank, and Henningsen, the HSL Esports main tank covering the roster. I think the only other player that they are missing is Shax, who is coming in from LA Valiant. Just on their seven man.
Okay, I don't have that one. So then we have Romania. Man, Skripa?
I think it's just Skripa. They've been calling Skripa? It Skripa on the cast. Right. Yeah.
So we've got Skripa coming in from the Clockwork Vendetta. On support, we've seen
him. we've seen him play Mercy. There's no way to honestly know what, and we'll find this out once we get to playoffs here. But like,
because he's on Clockwork.
He's the substitute support player, right? So you've got the two primary supports that also flex to snipers, right?
Yep.
So that's, yeah, that of course makes sense. Yeah, I'm falling. Monk Mutta and Zytor, who plays Widow and Hanzo pretty much exclusively. And then when they're like, okay, maybe we should actually run a Mercy or something, they bring in Skripa. Sometimes they'll run all three supports in at the same time and then like sub out Engineer. It's confusing. But anyway, he's like the Mercy player, might be able to play Lucio too, but it's Romania, so not much is going to happen, we don't think. Yeah. If you want to take Germany.
So then we've got Germany, where, speaking of Engineer, we've got Engineer coming in from Clockwork Vendetta also on the DPS role, followed up by Moose, his teammate from Clockwork Vendetta for the off tank, and then we've got Hadi, recently signed to the British Hurricane main tank, kind of filling out that little bit of contenders representation for Team Germany.
Yep. And then, yeah, it should be noted that we'll talk about that. I'll do it after this next one. So next up we have for Team Finland, just considering the tier two talent, we've got Zappis on off tank from Giganti, Davin from Giganti on DPS, and then Ricky, the May One trick, over Taimu and over Linkser, I think, as well. Mm-hmm. I'm not 100% sure.
I think Linkser said that he wasn't going to be playing.
Right, okay.
And then Taimu tweeted out saying that he did horrible in tryouts, so he takes full responsibility for not being on Team Finland.
Yeah, so the total... Can I pull this up, please? Am I allowed to do that, Discord? No?
You want the team?
Oh, okay. I guess it's LH Cloudy on main tank. RCK, Masa, and Shaz are the other three. I just wanted to like pull it up, but Discord's being weird. It doesn't let me open links for some reason from within the search function. Anywho. But yeah, it should be noted that out of the 7 players, 4 of them got on to the World Cup teams. The only one that didn't is, well, I mean, Mini Me very well could be on Team Austria. I don't think we covered Team Austria yet. Monk Mutta did not make Team Sweden. And then Zytor on Czech Republic. I don't think they even have a team. But like, that's fascinating that this team of absolute one tricks who were playing in open division last season are now World Cup talent. It's just fascinating that like, how fast these players have just elevated.
So then that takes us to Team Sweden. Yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, it's like these are all one tricks and they're getting to play in World Cup like at BlizzCon. Like that's
yep.
I actually yep. hope that a lot of the Clockwork Vendetta guys make it, you know, past the prelims and actually get to play in the Blizzard arena. Like
that'd be fascinating
because it would just be sweet to watch that happen. So then we've got Team Sweden, Snillo, kind of to be expected, coming in from the Fusion University on the DPS. Rat from Phase 2 on DPS, followed up by Erky from the Angry Titans on DPS. Then we've got Epps coming in from Revival on the Flex support. And then Gustav, I love that name, from Shoes Money Crew on the main support.
Yep, should be a banger roster. The only two that we are not seeing on there is Elevote and Lulzsish. So previously of Tier 2 fame, but also moved up to Washington. And then closing it out here is the absolutely tier 2 out to the nines team. That's Team Netherlands, which is entirely tier 2 talent. So we've got Vasily awesome. Coming in from Montreal on DPS, Jonah from Young and Beautiful on DPS, A10 from Phase 2 on DPS, Dans from Phase 2 on main tank, Brucen from Angry Titans on off tank, Crusade, previously of British Hurricane, currently on the inactive roster, main support, and then Trispear from Square One on flex support. Interestingly enough, all but three of these players, so the other four of them are all NA, which is interesting. Like how many it's interesting how many EU players play on Phase 2. I didn't like really notice until like looking it up, but like, wow, that's a lot of players on Phase 2 that are from EU.
Yeah, so. And that's, well, we know how they get around the region lock, so that's yeah. probably what they're doing there. And then to wrap us up, we've got Australia, Punk, coming in from the Uprising Academy on the off tank. Just one player for Team Australia, coming out of the Contenders region. But a lot of kind of, I mean, you've got Trill over there. You got I Eat You Up, CKM, Under yeah, Tongue, Face. I don't know who that is.
That's the coach. I coached NRG at one point. Yeah, so I only really included Punk because I'm not going to include all of the Team Australia players. Makes sense, I guess. But yeah, because like there's a lot of regions. Like we could cover like Thailand. Like, okay, well, we've got Aputo and we've got, I guess, Padafan. Who's their main tank? That was just announced today, so I'm kind of behind on that a little bit. Tidawat. One that I should mention as well. Tidawat, the Uprising Academy main tank, is now on the Thai roster. We kind of expected that. But now let's kind of get into the potatoes. We just covered the meat, now we've got the potatoes here. And we can kind of just alternate on these as well, I guess.
Sounds good.
These are the roster construction rules. We're kind of mainly covering through the lens of Contenders here, and so there'll probably be some overlap between us and High Noon Podcast on this, but like this is kind of where the two of us meet, is like player signings and two-way contracts and all this interesting stuff. So we'll kind of see it through two different lenses here. So starting off is Overwatch League key dates. The signing window for teams opens for teams to exercise team options on existing player contracts, negotiate extensions with currently signed players, or sign players from their affiliated academy team competing in Contenders. So what that means is any player that is currently on the roster of, say, San Francisco Shock, or no, let's use Dallas Fuel. They can either extend the contract. So if they have a 1+1, so maybe they signed Trill to a 1+1 contract, they can activate the +1, bring him on for another year. Actually, maybe not that. Maybe like someone else, like a Closer, I guess, because they signed him at the break. Because I don't know whether or not where Trill's contract starts and stops. That's confusing. They can also, with, say, Trill, if they only sign him on to the end of the season, then re-sign him on for another 1+1 or whatever. They can do that. They can also now call up players, like if they are not feeling like OGE is the main tank they want, they want Trill and maybe Numlocked, they'll call up Numlocked. They can do that. So that's kind of the first little window to take note of here.
So then on October 7th, 2019, teams that have completed exercising those contracts or declining them, all existing options, may submit free agent player contracts to the league office for approval. Teams may also submit player trades for approval. So this is when teams can actually actively look for trades and then basically send their players out to free agency and start working on free agent contracts.
This seems like a much more formal version of free agency. Like, I don't think free agency was ever this like truly formally announced previously, but it seems to be kind of cool to see it now as a much more like, I don't know. I would love to see official lists. And so I'm pretty sure this is like, I'm jumping on the death blow train of like, we want more transparency. Exactly. So I think that the, like, we're getting closer to that with this. I think we might see like a free agent list or free agent roster. That would be awesome to see, just like a clear place to be able to access all this information. So should be interesting. November 11th, 2019 season agreements officially end. Any players not under contract to the 2020 season into the 2020 season become free agents. In order to facilitate these players signing with new teams before the initial roster deadline, those players set to become free agents in November are permitted to discuss contracts with other teams before their 2019 contracts formally expire. So, I guess if you know you're getting dropped, you can be like, yo, Houston, do you need a D.Va player? No, you don't, because you already have two. Crap. Okay. What about Dallas? And kind of doing stuff like that. So, at least I believe that's what that
means. Yeah, that's basically, it kind of ties into that October 7th date, where on October 7th, they basically are allowed to start talking to teams once they know that they're on a free agent contract, basically. They're not signed to the team that they were previously on, so they can actually start pursuing things. And then the last date here, November 15th, 2019, is the deadline for all teams to have a minimum of 8 players under contract. Teams may sign or trade players until June 15th, 2020 at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So from November 15th to June 15th.
Open season.
8 months. 8 months of free agency completely out there ready for trade and signing.
And then players who were born on or before June 15th, 2002 are eligible to sign an Overwatch League contract for the 2020 season. So one player I know for sure that is like within a week of that, I think, is Mag. Main tank for Runaway, so that's an option, as well as you've got lots of other players becoming unlocked now as Who Are You, Alarm, trying to figure out others, but I can't remember offhand. So there's a couple.
So then we've
Go ahead.
Updated roster rules. I only brought over a couple of these because a lot of them were we already knew about. But these are the interesting ones that either slightly changed or we really didn't know about. This is a big one. This is one that I hope they actually use and they use it properly, because the league office may institute select blackout windows during each season to minimize disruption to the competition leading up to and during contenders playoffs. We've seen contenders teams get absolutely decimated week six and then just fall apart before they go into playoffs. So this should prevent teams that are looking good through the regular season getting absolutely destroyed going into playoffs and then, you know, flaming out in the quarterfinals, basically.
And it should be noted too, right? Like, the reason behind this, at least the way that I'm gathering this, is say, for example, you are Team Envy and you just picked up say you're Dallas Fuel and you want to call up Trill. They got really lucky that Stand One was willing to sub in and that Gladiators are willing to like let him sub in for that, because if they didn't, there was a decent chance that they could have just absolutely floundered in the playoffs. Or no, it was absolutely flounder in the Atlantic Showdown, which then hurts the chances of like Elevote, for example. So Elevote really, really showed up in this Atlantic Showdown because he had a very competent sub. In the off chance that that didn't happen, say they got someone who's not very good, say Stand One was like, I don't really want to play for this team, and Glads were like, no, we don't want you to play for that team either, Elevote's chances of getting called up may be tarnished because they had an absolutely horrific showing at the Atlantic Showdown, and now you know, okay, well, maybe Elevote's a choker at LAN. Maybe all the players on Team Envy are choking at LAN like that. Like, there's always a speculation. So what this does is it prevents teams from getting absolutely gutted and then hurting the chances of the other five players on the team if one player gets called up. So I think we both think that this is probably one of the best things. This only really hurts the one player who would have been called up, because then he gets no paycheck for an extra 2 weeks, I guess, until the season's over. And then Overwatch League teams who were like, I guess for the example of, who was it? Toronto Defiant, right? Who, when after Stellar left, they're like, we only have two DPS players. Oh crap, we need someone tomorrow. Like, who's this IM37 guy we've seen on ladder? Like, he's played a match with Second Wind. Imagine if Second Wind were like in the final bits of their season and they want to get IM37, but he's in playoffs with Second Wind now, and you don't want to screw over Second Wind. So then Toronto Defiant is just boned because they don't have another player. Now you've got Roki playing at DPS or something.
The only thing I think that could make this new rule better is if they modified it to where the Overwatch League teams could sign the player, but they couldn't participate on the Overwatch League team until after the playoffs were done. Like, that way they know that they're signed, but they still, the team still gets to play. But by the sounds of this just blacks out teams from being able to sign anybody.
And then in 2020, contenders teams affiliated with Overwatch League teams or with an Overwatch League organization must compete in the same geographic region as their parent team to be eligible for an Academy team designation. If an Overwatch League team wishes to operate a contenders affiliate in a different geographic region, they must do so with subject to the following qualifications. One, the Overwatch League organization must have a meaningful local infrastructure in place, aka team house, I think, is probably it. The Overwatch League organization will not receive Academy team benefits, including but not limited to exercising the right to match a player contract offer. Teams that previously held Academy team status and transferred to a new region may have grandfathered Academy team rights for a limited window of time.
This is the, what I'm going to start calling it, the FU rule.
Yeah.
This came along because Fusion University went to Korea. This and is like, that.
They're like, listen, you can go to Korea, but now Alarm, if he wants to go to, I don't know, who would use a great Zen right now?
Houston.
If Alarm is going to go to Houston, $350,000.
Fusion can't match it.
So maybe now it's only $150,000.
I'm going to assume that because these are the 2020 rules and they're currently playing in Korea in 2019 season,
yes,
that it doesn't quite work out that way right now. But going forward, that is going to be what happens. So do we see Fusion University come back to NA for the 2020 contender series?
Or they maybe just don't care anymore, because after Alarm, like, who do you really want to keep a really firm hold of after that? Like, Nice, like, okay, maybe. Nice might be a good player to hold on to for another year, but, like, I think once you get the changes, I think I could 100% see Fusion University going 100% Korean, or just, like, keeping Snillo there for some reason, I guess. just the five Korean players and Snillo eating all their food.
Five Koreans and a Swede.
Yes. Coming to a CBS show near you. I can 100% see them going completely Korean, foregoing any of these Academy team qualifications and just fielding the better Korean players and then just calling them up or selling them off. Seems to be working out for them right now.
It very much.
All right, this is you. I don't want to keep talking.
No, you're good. So next up, we have the right to match, which we were kind of just discussing a little bit about. Contenders Academy teams affiliated with Overwatch League organizations may negotiate right to match clauses, granting the parent team the right to match any offer from a competing Overwatch League team who wishes to sign a Contenders Academy player. The matching period is limited to 7 days from the date the initial contract submission to the league office. Teams may only exercise a right to match for players that are part of their active contenders roster, and the right to match provision must be negotiable with the players. So this is going to give, like we were talking about Alarm, if the Houston Outlaws offered $350,000 to Alarm. They would write up the contract and they would submit it to the league. And then Fusion have 7 days to exercise their right to match, where they just have to basically give Alarm the same exact contract that the Outlaws gave them. Simple, nice and easy. It allows teams that put money and effort into their academy teams to make sure that they don't get poached out from underneath by teams that have deep pockets or, you know, the ability to slide in and snatch somebody up that's not on a two-way contract yet.
Yeah, especially if, like, Mayhem Academy, who were notorious, like, Mayhem's a very... Actually, no, maybe Mayhem's not the best. Maybe if... who's a cheap team? Boston, Uprising Academy. There we go. If they really invest in a player like Tidawat, if they really like build him up to an incredible player, and then NRG, who are just infinite money here, just bought it, you know, bought him out for however much money, Boston at least have the opportunity to match that, which is nice to see them be able to benefit from their hard work.
So kind of going along with this, let's just stick with the Alarm scenario here. $350,000. Houston offers it. Fusion doesn't want to take it or doesn't want to pay Alarm that much. So if a team chooses not to match, they may be entitled to receive a buyout fee from the competing Overwatch League team. Now, we do know that the buyouts can go anywhere from 0 to 100% of the contract. So potentially, Fusion University could get $0 for the Alarm contract or $350,000 if that's what it was offered, depending on what the number in the right to match clause is for each contract. So this is just another way for teams potentially make money. You build up a player, you let another team make an offer, and then you either match or don't match, and either way, you end up with a great player or you end up with a fat payday.
Yep. Win-win. So that kind of just another example of like teams maybe invest in an academy system here, because you have opportunity to either farm the best players or get the best talent, or to get like the most money. Here's the big one as well. Two-way players. The 2020 season will introduce an evolution of the two-way player contract to incorporate player and team feedback from the 2019 season. Teams and players may negotiate the right to designate the player as eligible to compete in an affiliated contender's team. Any player on the two-way roster may agree to be eligible for contender's play, but a maximum of 4 players may be designated as two-way players at any given time. The current rule is 2, I believe.
It is 2.
We're now at 4. Two-way players are eligible.
It was, you could designate 4 players, but only 2 of them could play any given time together.
Yes. Two-way players are eligible to compete in contenders subject to the following rules. Regardless of where they play, two-way players count towards the Overwatch League roster limit and must earn the same salary and benefits. Two-way players also will count towards the 8-player contenders roster limit for the weeks in which their contenders team designates them as eligible to compete. This is not really a change, except I think the eligible to compete thing might be added. Designated two-way players will lose their contenders eligibility for a 60-day period if they appear in more than 2 Overwatch League matches within a 30-day period. That period of ineligibility begins and resets upon the player appearing in their 3rd Overwatch League match within a 30-day period.
We're going to call this...
This is a change.
The Fusion's rule, the player, not the team.
Yes. So the interesting change here is that these stages are no longer a factor. It's just days. So I think that they wanted to kind of future-proof this a little bit here, and maybe they're going to get rid of traditional stages or change the range of stages in the future because of this whole logistical nightmare that is the localization for Overwatch League. That makes sense. Any two-way player who competes in more than 50% of their team's total maps played in an Overwatch League 2020 season will be ineligible to compete in contenders during the off-season period. So, let's see. Who do we know? Who's on a two-way? Actually, I don't know of any two-ways who are playing that many at all, right?
No, because after the debacle at the beginning of the year, I think all of the two ways kind of got sent back down into contenders and were never really used.
Or re-signed to new
contracts,
i.e. fusions. So that's interesting. I guess, isn't Nero two-way technically now?
No.
Or was he?
He was, but they got rid of the Academy team.
Yes, and then they bought an Academy
team. And then they bought the T1.
Okay. A maximum of 4 two-way players may complete in a single contenders match, an increase in the two-player cap for 2019. That was the thing I was looking about.
Yep.
Okay, so whereas previously you could only have who's two-way? Snillo and Elk.
Yep.
Now you can also designate who else do they have on that roster anymore?
Alarm and Bernard. Chancic.
You could now designate them as two-way players as well and still play them. After appearing in two Overwatch... where did I get two from? After appearing in any Overwatch League match, two-way players are ineligible to compete in contenders matches for the following week, i.e. if a player completes in Overwatch League on a Thursday, they cannot participate in the contenders until the following Thursday.
And that's a change that makes also. Sense.
You can't have Elk dancing between Fusion and Fusion University. That kind of just screws things up for everyone. Two-way players may compete in contenders prior to the start of the 2020 Overwatch League season if those players are Overwatch League rookies, or if those players competed in fewer than two Overwatch League matches in stage 4 of the 2019 season. This is the fusion rule, right? Yes.
Oh yeah, this would be the fusion rule, because that's what screwed them up in stage 1 when they were using them.
After a very strongly worded phone call or strongly worded letter from the president of Gaming Huck to the Blizzard staff, they're like, okay. Just for you, we're going to add this rule in so that doesn't happen again.
See, and now we have it in writing, so we're getting a little bit of transparency. It's a slow burn when it comes to transparency with the Overwatch League here.
They drip feed us.
There's a lot of really good things that I'm taking out of this. I like the new designation of playing two matches in 60 days. Playing in two matches in 30 days will then lock out your eligibility for 60 days. So as long as you dance on that line, they can play, as long as they don't play 50% of the maps or go into more than two games in a 30-day time frame. We might actually start to see two-way players used a little bit more. You know, get some of that garbage time. You're up 3-0, throw in one of your two-way players, let them get some stage time, you know, get the jitters out.
Yeah, I think with travel being more of a thing, I think it may be more of a possibility to see that happen with teams getting, or like with specifically with players getting just like absolutely burnt out and also very sick from travel. Like, that is a thing that I'm pretty sure happens, is just you get sick after being in an encased tube with a bunch of other people for 8+ hours. You have a tendency to get more sick and have more reasons to sub in players. So it definitely makes more sense coming into the 2020 season.
Definitely a lot of good stuff. Yeah. So that's going to take us down into our speculation station. We're going to kind of modify it a little bit. So we've got NA East Week 7. Those are the matches for tomorrow. We've got Phase 2 versus Grunto for our first matchup. We both have this going to Grunto. I've got it going 3-2. Kyle's got it going 3-1. Atlanta Academy versus the Sky Fox. You would have to be absolutely out of your mind to not give this to Atlanta Academy 4-0.
Perfect season.
Just give us all the perfection, Atlanta, please. Uprising Academy versus the Gladiators Legion. Unfortunately, we both got to give this to the Uprising Academy. Kyle's going the 3-2. I'm going the 3-1 here. And then we've got Square One versus Bermuda. Square One. Easy. And Kyle both giving it 3-1. Bermuda shows flashes. They're able to take maps basically off of almost everyone. But not so much actual matches.
talking about EU, we've got official playoffs. We wanted to do a lovely playoffs, you know, cap off here, or a preview show here next week, but these playoffs start, what, day after tomorrow? So, yep. Or the day after tomorrow, like Friday or Saturday or something. British Hurricane versus Angry Titans in the first match. We both have this going. Oh, no, we don't. We got the first split here. You have this going to British Hurricane 3-1. I've got this going to Angry Titans 3-2. I think that losing Numlocked might hurt their chances quite a bit. And now Hottie going in at the off or the main tank spot is just not going to help them as much.
It's fair.
That's my assumption. And then the winner of that going against Giganti. We both have this going to Giganti. You've got it going 3-2 against British Hurricane. I've got it going 3-1 against Angry Titans. Next up is HSL versus Samsung Morning Stars. We both have this going HSL's way, 3-1. Then Clockwork Vendetta versus now HSL. You've got this going to Clockwork Vendetta, 3-2. I've got this going to them, 3-1.
That was actually a difficult one because
yes.
Now we're on 2-2.
I want to see CV versus Giganti in the rematch. It went to 5 last time.
Yep,
I want the banger match again.
That's what I'm hoping for, and I would probably have to give it to Giganti just based off of the 2-2-2 and what we saw on their last meetup. But I mean, Clockwork Vendetta, man, they've pulled out some magic. They very well could take it, but I'm going Giganti Clockwork for the finals of EU playoffs here. So. We've got week 5, day 2 of Korea. We're going to see GC Busan versus Fusion University. I've got this going to Fusion University 3-2, and Kyle's got this going to GC Busan 3-1. It's not very often we get splits like this on Fusion, but it's been happening a lot since they've been in Korea.
The problem is you kept betting on the opposite teams, and I kept betting on Fusion, and then they kept losing. Maybe if I switch it, then it'll work.
we're going for the old locker room superstitions here. Then we've got O2 Blast versus Runaway. Man, this is going to be a blast to watch. Both of us have this going.
Someone runs away with. No, I'm okay. Just stop me. Stop me.
I'm the dad jokes. I'm the old guy here. Both of us have this going to O2 Blast. Kyle's got it going 3-2. I've got it going 3-1. And then on week 6, day 1, we're going to see Gen G versus O2 Blast. I'm giving this to Gen G along with Kyle, but I got it going the full distance, 3-2. Kyle's got it going 3-1. And then we'll see Fusion University versus Meta Athena. And I throw the papers in the air. I don't even know anymore.
Who's to say?
Me and Kyle are both giving it to Fusion University. I'm going 3-1. Kyle's doing the patented 2-1. But, I mean, Meta Athena just beat Element Mystic, so anything can happen. I mean, we'll have to wait and see. So, we've got our community intel question that I put out. We got a couple of responses off of Twitter. Question was, what team are you most excited to see play with the new 2-2-2 roll lock, and why? So, we got Shrugoff coming in with Gladiator's Legion, because I want to see water on DPS. That is a very fair reason to want to watch the Gladiators on 2-2-2, that's for sure. And then we have Romanov. He wants to watch the Sky Foxes because Boostio and Who Are You duo in 2-2-2 is gonna be nuts. Hayes checking in with Clockwork Vendetta because I want to see how they F other comps other than GOATs. That's, I mean...
Sure, yeah.
If they come out with a completely new Clockwork Vendetta version 2 comp.
Give me the CV 2.0.
CV 2.0 and just destroy. I mean, we might see it.
I think that they might actually. So going back real quick, this is why I feel that this EU playoff prediction is going to be rough. And if it 100% blows up in our faces, I won't be surprised this team relies on having two support players play Widow Hanzo and absolutely like doing incredible things with that. Now that they have to actually play supports at all times, there might be some issues. You can't triple DPS anymore. You can't do all this wacky stuff. That being said, they still have a really strong foundation with Orisa, Hog, Torb, and Mei. So they could just keep running that probably.
Yep. What were they calling it? Ice fishing, I think is what what I've heard people calling it.
Yeah, there's a lot of different.
It's very interesting.
Creative ones. Yeah.
But that's going to wrap it up. That's a show. Kyle, where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at Kyle the Winner. Anyone who follows my Twitch still, I tried to stream a game yesterday for a minute, realized it was destroying my GPU, and I was doing like 3 frames a day. So let's just give that up as much as possible here. Just follow me on Twitter and hang out in the Discord with me.
Yes, and you can find me on Twitter at ThornRain. I do all of my streaming right here on the Blackwatch Reports Twitch channel. I'm sorry. We got to do the sellouts. I got a sellout. I'm sorry. I almost missed that. If you are an audio listener, swing by Twitch, create a free profile, and hit that follow button. And if you happen to have Amazon Prime, that means that you have Twitch Prime, and we are affiliates, so you can hit that subscribe button and help out the show. But if you want to help out the show completely free and make Kyle do a little bit of extra work every week, go ahead and swing by iTunes, leave us a review, 1-star, 5-star, we read them all. Let us know what you like, what you dislike. You'll get a shout out on the show. But you can find the show on Twitter at Blackwatch Report. There's no O in that report. You can email the show, blackwatchreport@gmail.com. Any questions, comments, or concerns, and we will read those on the show, as long as they're PG and not a book. Follow the show on Twitch at twitch.tv/blackwatchreport. We record live Tuesday, 6 p.m. Eastern, and our intro music is an original piece by our own Mr. Kyle Wynn. This has been a High Noon production, and you can find all of our shows over at highnoonpodcast.com. And you can come and chat with us on that Discord that Kyle was talking about over at discord.me/highnoonpodcast. And with that, Blackwatch out.